Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
Time now for Mental Health Extra. Jake Mills is in the studio. Hey, Rumi.
Hey, how are you doing? I'm kind of missing it a little bit.
Me and Jake did the 24-hour show together. We spent 24 hours in a studio, and about 12 hours after we finished, I sent him a message going, I think I'm missing talking to you.
Yeah. No, you didn't even send me. You phoned me.
I actually phoned you. That was it. Yeah. I felt like is it Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
Where you eventually start to quite like your kidnappers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a perfect explanation of it, because it didn't take too long for you to never phone me again.
No.
So
this is true. So me and Jake went to London to the Mayan Media Awards. Jake was nominated twice because he was also
indirectly.
Involved. He was also involved in a TV show featuring Davina McCall, and it just so happened that our award was the first one up.
Yeah, because we had mentally prepared to be the last, because we were in the program. We were the last ones in there, so we're taking our time. We're a bit relaxed. We weren't really listening. And then they came out and said, the first one is radio. And we were like, oh, no. But you know what? It's probably that worked out the best way, actually, I think, because we got it out the way.
We did get it out the way. And we won, which was absolutely amazing. I've never had to do a speech as well, having won an award before.
Yeah.
So this was then it was like, here's basically talk to the media, but also talk to the media who already talk about mental health. So
yeah.
You can't blind it with science or anything like that, because they already know the stuff that you know.
Yeah, no, you smashed out the park, didn't you? Okay, let's say it. I like that, you know, all the way you're like, no, you know, don't even think about the speech. No, but no, I'm not going to prepare that. And you'd prepared. You had thoughts about your speech, because it was too good. It was too good in a way. And also you set the tone then, you know, you set that bar, because we were the first for anyone else who had to do a speech afterwards. And I have to say, I don't think anyone came actually Clark Carlisle, right.
Yeah.
We'll forget Clark Carlisle for a minute. But no, it was a perfect speech. And you know, I think sometimes people can look at awards and think that's the reason why you're doing stuff, and it's not the reason why we done that. We could have done stuff a lot easier than doing 24 hours to win an award, I'm sure. But it was nice to have that recognition, especially as the only local group there as well. And we were up against, who were we up against? Five Live.
LBC. Radio 1.
Yeah, you know, so it was nice to get that recognition. We're not doing it for awards. This is not a show. The proof is in the pudding. You know, you've done this show for so long now. We've done a 24-hour one. This is not a kind of gimmick or anything like that. This is serious. You're taking it serious, and it's making a difference. And it was nice to have that recognition. And the nice thing for me was that afterwards, loads of people I was talking to had heard about what we were doing, because it actually wasn't like made a big deal of as part of the nomination that it was a 24-hour show. It was just kind of like, these are your nominees and this is your winner. But you know, the amount of people who spoke to me afterwards who knew exactly what we'd done, and you know, we're delighted that we actually won.
We were back down to earth with a bump this week with Mental Health Monday. Claire Stevens from the Liverpool Mental Health Consortium setting out really the stark realities of life working in the mental health field at the moment. Traditionally, over the last 24 years, so more than a couple of decades, they have been providing mental health services, working within mental health communities, speaking to people, offering research, all kinds of different things as was set out in the programme. And yet their funding, which had come a little bit from the council, a little bit from the local sort of the NHS, the CCG, Clinical Commissioning Group, is no longer there. And this is an organisation which has been operating way ahead of many other organisations, a long-standing, long-running organisation. And as of January the 31st, next year, 2019, that's it. They're done. Mm. Closing the doors. The funding's run out. The cash is gone.
It's really sad, because this is why you have people who work within the mental health field and campaigners and such, who will often kind of roll their eyes a little bit when you hear announcements from central government and others similar, when they're talking about how committed they are to mental health and how much money they're going to put into it. When this is a real working organisation that looks after grassroots organisations, peer led, that's making a massive difference to the community, and yet they can't make ends meet. And you know, it's not just in the greatest of respect, I don't mean any disrespect to like a cafe that was closing. You know, this is actually a support for so many people who do depend on it, and there's going to be a lot of implications following that as well, the people who then will have to find support elsewhere.
Claire was saying as part of the interview that she was saying that they were kind of victims of not falling into the right type of organisation. Mm. This is one of the dangers, isn't it? If you're now going to say, right, we're going to start funding mental health organisations correctly, there's going to have to be an idea or a sense of what are those particular organisations doing? Do they fit the tick box exercise that we've got? There's quite clearly a million and one different organisations, we've had them on this programme, who do a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. who might not necessarily tick all the boxes in one category or another, but actually have got a proven track record in delivery of mental health services. And if somebody looked at that on a human level, would go, oh, I can see the value there, even though the computer says no. And the tick box exercise is not something that you pass.
And that's a difficulty, really, because especially, you know, somebody like Claire, who's so passionate about this, who's put so much into this, and she, you know, she's just desperate for somebody to actually have that approach to come, see her, talk, look, listen to the people who use it. And, you know, Claire made a really, really massively valuable point yesterday in which she said about how you're hearing kind of ministers and commissioners and politicians who are saying about trying to do things differently and plans for this type of approach and these different types of work, and they're actually already existing, they're already happening. You know, we're hearing the likes of the health minister at the moment talking about social prescribing and how he wants to focus on that. But social prescribing, although it's the in kind of word now at the moment, is already existing. It's already happening across the country. If you look at kind of the work that Claire is doing, she does or they do hit so many of those tick boxes, and it's just it's tragic really that it's getting to this stage, and it really, really shouldn't.
Jake Mills is with us in the studio from Chasing the Stigma. Jake, I'm looking at the results of a survey off the back of a conversation we had a little bit earlier with the Joseph Rowntree Foundation about poverty. I'm looking at the issue of debt now. The Guardian have come up with some figures alongside the NatSen, who've analysed data from the NHS for the Money and Mental Health Policy Institute. Of the people in problem debt, 13% of people who are in problem debt, about 420,000 a year, think about suicide. 4% of them try to end their own lives. That's more than 100,000 people looking to end their lives as a result of being in debt. They set out the story of Tracy Rogers, whose son Jerome took his life. He had an unpaid £65 parking fine, but it actually led up to debts of more than £1,000. This is stark, isn't it? This is stark. This is stark reasons why people have found themselves unable to cope as a result of debt, their inability to pay bills.
It's absolutely devastating. We're in 2018, Britain, and this is what's happening. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of similar stories today on different radio shows and TV shows throughout the country today who are talking about actual examples of the way that some people are having to live, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. And not to mention, you know, the time of year that we're actually approaching as well, and the pressures that so many people are under. It's a really kind of, it's a horrible, horrible situation that so many people are in. And I think we're all victim of, I think it's kind of human nature to not really be able to empathize properly until you've actually struggled yourself. But in all honesty, I don't think people actually realize just how bad it is for some people. It's horrible.
One of the things that have been highlighted, intimidating letters sent by debt collectors, bailiffs and councils add to feelings of despair, the study found. It's prompted calls from mental health experts for an overhaul of the tactics that banks, utility and credit card companies and others use to pursue people struggling to make repayments.
Yeah, and I think this was something that we discussed as well not long ago, particularly about utilities companies, and it's kind of, this approach needs to be more about how they can help rather than, you know, that bullying tactic and that, you know, intimidating. What effect is that going to have on somebody? You've got to be realistic. You can't be short-sighted when you're actually trying to look at this as a problem and looking at solutions. And there has to be a human solution amongst it all.
Yeah, I often wonder with that, because you think, sometimes people say, Mick, why do you reckon the situation has got as bad as it is? I think part of it is down to, not necessarily debt, but the financial imperative to go on and go on and go on. And there's no sort of respite for anyone. So if you find yourself in debt, how can you pay off your debts when you're also trying to pay your bills? There's no system built in, is there, whereby you can give me a break, give me a couple of weeks, give me a month where I don't have to pay any bills just to get myself in order. We don't have that system at all, do we? I often think, you know, you set up a direct debit over a 12-month period. I think there should be an option which goes, would you like to set this up over an 11-month period? So what you could even do in life is you could set up all your direct debits to be paid out over 11 months instead of 12. You spread that 12th payment over the 11 months, which then would give you 1 month in a year. You might do it the month of your birthday. You might do it the month of Christmas, where you wouldn't have to pay it that particular month. And it would just give you that breathing room that if you were thinking, oh, I'm absolutely skint, I've got absolutely nothing, you could think, well, as long as I get through to the designated month, whatever one you'd pick, April, August, Christmas.
Yeah.
You could then have that breathing space.
And that's it. It's about looking at a kind of a person-led approach to things. It's being human about it. It's actually saying, how can we make this work for both of us? Not just a case of, right, here's your money, you're tied into this, now give us what you owe us. You know, it's not gonna work that way. It can't continue to work that way, the way that the economy is at the moment anyway. So it's we've got to have that change. And you know, we do hear kind of surveys and results like this quite often, and it's always not so much about the actual results of that survey, but what you're going to do with that and those statistics. And it's going to have to reach a point where something does have to happen, and it's kind of, I don't know, about holding your breath or something, but, you know.
Well, I've got a quote here from Jed Flynn, chief exec of Papyrus. It is no surprise that debt may contribute to people's thoughts of suicide in many cases. In young people, insecurity in employment, increasing and prohibitive rent, 0 hours contracts, and not being able to get on the housing ladder, often causing a downward spiral of debt, can make young people often despair. Vicky Nash is the head of policy and campaigns at Mind. Behind these figures are real people, parents, children, siblings, colleagues, friends, whose lives are being devastated. Mind has found that half of people with mental health problems have thought about or attempted suicide as a result of social issues such as housing issues, debt, benefit support and employment, with a government spokesperson saying suicide is the most devastating outcome for people struggling with the challenges of life. We are committed to helping people in problem debt receive the proper support. We've increased funding for the Money Advice Service to over $65 million, enough to help 530,000 people get the debt advice they need. We're also introducing breathing space from problem debt to give people time to get their financial lives back on track. The Guardian has set out those details there. It is one of those things, and people, you know, talking about Brexit and the impact that that's going to have on our economy, growth and so on and so forth. If there is to be a downturn in the economy, this is something we have to keep an eye out for. The story about casualisation of labour, won't get into the specific details of that, but within the local area as well. And that feeds into those issues as well. This might be the absolute worst outcome for some of those decisions, which are made for various different reasons, political, business or otherwise.
Yeah, and if you think for 1 minute that this is something that won't affect you in some way, shape or form, whether directly or indirectly, then you're wrong. This is everybody's business. And yeah, you know, it's even more important, as I said, as we're going into the Christmas period as well, of being aware of that and not kind of putting people under pressure.
Jake, what are you working on at Chasing the Stigma this week?
So we are going to be soon approaching our birthday. So we're approaching our second birthday as a registered charity. So we're kind of going to be working on a bit of a Christmas campaign, birthday campaign, which we'll announce. So our birthday is the 14th of January, December, sorry, but I'm not here next week. So I'll speak to you when I come back about that.
Big party, is it?
Yeah, it's a massive, like, week-long party. And yeah, so, you know, the Ambassador of Hope training, we're training the staff at Mashbow today, and we're training the staff at Regenda on Thursday as well.
So that's the Regenda Housing Group. Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff. Keep him busy. There's links to Jake on our social media, and there's links, obviously, to Mental Health Monday as well. The Mental Health Consortium aren't being backwards in coming forwards for this one, Jake. They do need money, don't they? I mean, it's as simple as that. They need this 20 grand to bridge £122,000 to essentially fund themselves for a year as well. So people know people who are able to support financially an organisation like that through sponsorship and other different things, or if they've got ideas in regard to funding or making their lives easier, do contact us either here through the station or on the social media. You can find links to the Liverpool Mental Health Consortium, whereby you can contact Claire Stevens and the team directly. They are literally, they are going to close the doors at the end of January. This isn't like a, oh, let's see if we can get some money. This is a, it's already in place to close, but they do need some help and they need it as quick as possible. If you know anyone who's able to support that or give them some kind of financial benefit, then they are very, very keen to hear from you. If you want to come through me at the station, more than happy to do that and pass that on. Mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's Mick@radiocity.co.uk. Jake Mills, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Me and Jake stayed in a hotel on Thursday night. It was an interesting...
Somebody's called?
Yeah. It was an interesting... I got into the office today and somebody said, how was that hotel that I booked you into?
Yeah, what did you... What did you answer or did you just pull a face?
What we need to do is we need to do like a mental health extra to tell the real story. About a slightly odd place.
We'll do it at the hotel.
To be fair, exactly as they claimed, it was quite close to Euston, though.
It was, and that's the only thing we can say about it.
Thank you for your time.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
On Radio City Talk.